Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Tech Connect podcast. I'm John Martin.
And I'm Dean Reverman.
Today, we're going to be talking to Hetty Wells, Phoebe Cresswell about enterprise versus consumer devices in healthcare. What are the key differences? What does the data indicate? And why, spoiler alert, we think enterprise is probably the best choice. As always, we'll get into our recurring segments, the value to the VAR, and what's tech connecting with us. It's time to plug in and get connected.
Welcome to the Tech Connect podcast. It's time to get connected.
All right, so as I noted, our guest today is Phoebe Cresswell from Honeywell. Phoebe, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, gentlemen. Glad to be a part of it.
Definitely. Phoebe is the healthcare marketing manager for Honeywell. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about how you got to where you are, your path there. What are you actually doing at Honeywell these days?
Sure, absolutely. So I am not a stranger to the AIDC industry. Mm-hmm. I've been around at Honeywell going on about 3 years or so, but I've really been in the industry via our distributors and directly at Honeywell about 5 or 6 years. So I've always had experience working directly with our channel, with our Honeywell channel partners, with our distributors, and always on a marketing front. So as many know, Honeywell, we've always had a footprint in healthcare, but really going into 2020, we really have a strong focus in healthcare. And so I have been brought into this role as the healthcare marketing manager to really drive our go-to-market strategy and look at our different portfolio offerings, really get Honeywell through as more of a solution-based company for healthcare. So doing a full market analysis, bringing specific healthcare programs to some of our partners and our distributors. So anything Honeywell has our foot in for healthcare within the AIDC space, I'm responsible for leading those initiatives.
And Phoebe's a good friend of Blue Star. She's been around for a couple years, and it's good to see you again. And thanks for joining us today. And your move over to the healthcare space was timely, as it turns out, Phoebe. I mean, we didn't know that we would be hit by a global pandemic, but certainly in that role, you're all in on what's happening in the space today. And what's going on.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. And we'll touch on some of that, I guess, along the way as well.
So yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Good to see you.
Yeah. So as I mentioned, our topic today is enterprise versus consumer devices in healthcare. So we want to talk about mobile devices in the healthcare workplace, continuously growing, continuously expanding its reach. Mm-hmm. A stat I came across while doing some research for this podcast is that it's expected that by 2022, 9 out of 10 clinicians will be using some sort of mobile device in the healthcare environment.
Unbelievable.
Makes sense. We're all using them in our day-to-day lives. Why wouldn't you be using them on the job in some extent too? Mm-hmm. So from my understanding, there are basically three types of devices that could be in use. You've got the bring your own device model, which would be, hey, you already own some kind of a mobile device, bring it with you to work. Mm-hmm. We'll equip it in whatever need we wait for you to use it at work. Mm-hmm. The healthcare facility itself might purchase devices, consumer level devices. So maybe they go out and buy you iPhones, Android phones, some kind of tablets or some sort, supply those to you, again, equipped with what you need to use day to day. Or, which is kind of going to be a little bit of our focus as we dive a little further in, enterprise devices, which are purpose built for healthcare, designed to withstand and hold up to the rigors.
Yep.
So Phoebe, I want to start off with you by talking a little bit about some of the motivating factors that healthcare environments might be thinking about when deciding what kind of device they do want to bring into their facility. To that end, I believe Honeywell did a study with HIMSS about that. Can you tell us a little bit more about that study and kind of what the data told you?
Sure, absolutely. So we recently did a co-study with HIMSS, with their organization, to really dive into how healthcare providers are looking at adopting a mobility solution. To your point, we know that mobility is a technology and a solution that has taken off in the market. So it's becoming more and more popular and more widely adopted. So we really wanted to understand some of the driving factors and what healthcare providers consider when they're looking into a mobility device and solution. And we wanted to understand some of the key decision makers, throughout the healthcare process of who contributes to that decision. And then we wanted to understand some pain points that they have as well. Mobility as a whole, it usually is a lot more integrated than some other technologies, such as, you know, simple barcode reading, some printing applications. So it's a lot more integrated of a solution. So we wanted to understand pain points and issues that healthcare providers run into when they're evaluating, when they're adopting, and then when they've been piloting it as well. So looking for a lot of insights into the boom of mobility in the healthcare space.
And what did some of that research show? I mean, I can imagine, you know, to a certain degree, some of the obvious things when I think about the healthcare environment today, just the workflow in general has changed somewhat rapidly here over the last few months with the pandemic. But, you know, I heard clinicians and hospitals talk about how they had things on the drawing board. Oh, we're going to get to these types of solutions coming up here in the next few years. Well, all that's been compressed a little bit, obviously, with what's going on. But what is some of the research showing you on the mobility side and the move? What are some of those motivating factors there?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So one of the number one driving factors that healthcare providers consider is around their staff user acceptance and around their clinician productivity. Productivity, you know, is the name of the game for a hospital. It's about creating a positive patient experience. And oftentimes, you know, you never want your technology to get in the way of delivering a good patient experience. So you want your clinical staff to be at a bedside, their device isn't working, they can't access the information right there that they need. They're having to take time away from the patient to interact with their tech support team. So staff productivity really is continued to be the driving factor here when adopting a mobile solution. You want your clinical staff to have, again, the information they need. It has to be able to integrate with other apps and especially their EHR or EMR provider. So that was another kind of key driving factor in a mobile solution. It's got to be able to integrate to their system. And then one of the third driving factors that came up out of the study that continues to be more and more of a focus and discussion is around cybersecurity and data privacy. So certainly, you know, within the healthcare space, we are all familiar with how vulnerable hospitals are to cyber threats and security attacks. There's so much patient privacy and data information that cannot, you know, that has to stay within that hospital's network. So there is a heightened focus when healthcare provider or a major hospital system, when they're looking into a mobility device, security remains one of the number one topics of interest.
Yeah, and an enterprise device is obviously going to help there. And it helps, boy, you hit on three big things that I was considering myself. Let's go back to the patient experience, because I think that's critical into the whole use of mobility and why we're seeing some adaptation there. You know, what I wrote down is patient versus customer experience. So in the retail hospitality space, it's always talking about the customer experience. What's the customer experience going to be in the use of mobility to help make that more efficient? Well, in the healthcare world, it's the same. It's just called patient experience. And of course, as we all know, there's motivating factors around that. Hospitals, healthcare facilities get paid based on how well the patient experience can go. So mobility is really critical there, right, Phoebe? No wonder that we're seeing some adaptation taken there specifically because of the patient experience, right?
Certainly, yes. So a hospital, right, they are measured in terms of their patient outcomes, how satisfied their patients are. With hospitals, you know, in a retail, you want your customers to come back. Ideally in a hospital, you don't want them to come back. You want to treat them and you want to have one-time patients. So it really does help to deliver a positive patient experience. And that starts even sometimes from the time the patient checks in all the way throughout their journey to the time that they're discharged to go home. So having a mobility solution now, it not only helps to keep your clinicians at the bedside, give them more opportunity for engagement, to be able, you know, to, we talked about looking up their medical records right there on hand. But one of the now bigger emerging pieces of a mobility solution that we're seeing is all around clinician communication. So you want to have a good communication platform for your entire staff to be able to communicate that adds to that patient experience. So starting again, if you look at starting at admission, you've got to have a good communication system to be able to show patient is checked in, someone needs to come and get them, admit them, bring them back to the exam room. And you want to be able to communicate all the way, no matter where that patient is throughout their journey in the hospital. So your, you know, your direct care teams need to be involved. If a patient's there for an operation, right, you have so many teams from pre-op to direct OR staff to post-op. You have so many care teams that's going to touch that patient during their time. And they have to be able to effectively communicate to not only keep them productive, but making sure that the patient does have a positive experience.
And boy, that speaks volumes to the other point that you brought up with it, which is integration. These devices have to be able to integrate easily into multifaceted systems, not just the EHR, but communication to provide that unified communication experience, if you will. That's why enterprise devices, I think, have a little bit of an upside there, right? Even on the integration side. So,
Phoebe, I got a question for you. The HIM study that you did, was there any information that came out of it that you found surprising, like something you weren't expecting to hear about?
Sure. So I think some of the biggest surprising, and this is more towards, I would say, perception, is that there are, I think, to your point, there is a perception, I think, out in the market that some of these consumer devices, that they actually are more secure or they are better enabled to protect patient data. So that really comes down to, I think, a perception around different operating systems. And again, it's kind of their use case. So in our everyday lives, everyone is used to, you know, their smartphone or their smart device. But I think there are extremely different applications between using your personal device in your daily life and then bringing that into such a sensitive environment like a hospital, and what those outcomes are going to be. So I'd say to the surprising point is that the study did confirm that there is still, I think, a perception out there about the different capabilities of an operating system and even some of the differences between an enterprise solution and a consumer solution. So that kind of lends itself, I think there's a lot of opportunity for education in the marketplace and what some of the true differences are versus just what is perceived.
Yeah. And that is a perfect segue for us into kind of diving a little bit further in. You're great at this. So obviously, we're in the AIDC market. We believe in enterprise barcoding solutions and
we
enterprise
preach it every
mobile
day
device.
Kind
of
a thing, right?
Exactly. It's part of life at Blue Star and part of a lot of what we do and a lot of our lines do. So we definitely want to talk more about that. So I kind of want to get your input on, where do you see enterprise devices really standing out? Like, what makes the biggest difference between enterprise versus a consumer-driven device?
Sure. So not to get too technical, but one of the just most blatant points of why an enterprise device really has a leg up is really just around the design and the form factor of an enterprise solution. Specifically, you know, at Honeywell, we were actually one of the market leaders and for over a decade to introduce disinfectant-ready housing to the healthcare market. So if you think about your consumer device, they are really built for light duty, if you will, or a light application. And in healthcare, especially in today's market and what we're seeing around the globe, you really need a device that's going to withstand a harsh environment. Hospitals, you know, are built out of concrete. So sometimes that lends itself to drops, to a little bit rougher handling between different clinicians. And then they've got to be able to withstand harsh cleaning chemicals and disease, you know, disease control and prevention. It's at the top of everyone's mind, especially nowadays. So that, I think, hands down, an enterprise device, it's built for a healthcare environment. It has already that protective casing. So you don't need, if with a consumer device, you don't need that additional investment to try to have a protective case. So I'd say just the design itself of an enterprise device. And then it does lend itself to other technologies built within it. So a lot of these enterprise devices, they have a built-in scan engine. So that even eliminates the need for additional technology, again, in that patient care experience. Mm-hmm. You don't have to continue to tether yourself to a corded scanner and a separate device for it. It's all in an enterprise mobility device. You have that built-in scan technology. So if you're entering the patient room, you can look up their medical data, their history, you can scan their wristband. You can do that all in one device together that's already built. And again, it's made for a healthcare environment.
Yeah.
I would also say, again, the operating system and the security continues to be one of the factors where I think enterprise devices really stand out. Mm-hmm. The benefit to that is a lot of enterprise manufacturers such as Honeywell have relationships with some of these leading operating system providers, and we're able to add extra layers and extra benefits to security, so to keep all that patient data safe and eliminate cyber threats.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned the barcode scanning in particular. I was doing some research recently about barcode scanning on consumer devices, and mm-hmm. I think there's this, not an incorrect perception, but the perception of, hey, smartphones now have incredible cameras on them. They're, you know, state-of-the-art, top-of-the-line cameras. You can find a barcoding app, and you can do your scanning just fine from that. But when I was doing my research, I found out, like, one, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of these apps available, mm-hmm. and most of them aren't from companies that have anything to do with healthcare or, mm-hmm. you know, really barcode scanning for that matter. Mm-hmm. And the point they brought up is that, you know, it may not be able to control all the symbologies that are out there. It may not be able to read every type of scanner. It may be a freemium product where you can, you know, maybe do 30 scans a month and then you got to start paying for something beyond that. Mm-hmm. And my thing is just kind of, why take the risk on a software that has not necessarily been designed specifically for this intent when you could have something that is?
That's it, right? I mean, yeah. these are purpose-built devices. I think that's the perfect phrase, Phoebe, that you said there earlier. It's purpose-built. It's designed for this type of application. You know, when I think about stuff like that, I think back to the minivan. I know, just follow me here for just a second, because, you know, my kids are a little bit older now, but when you go out and when you have children, you go out and you try to find the right vehicle that can handle a family. Well, darn it. The minivan engineers are really good at designing a car that is built for the modern family, if you will. Doors that open easy, cup holders. I mean, it's just lots of genius stuff around it, but it's purpose built for a family, much like this here. When you're talking about enterprise devices, they're made for the environment. They're made to be able to handle the rigors of the daily use. They've got the battery life and things of that nature. It really makes the ROI, you know, that kind of an argument a little bit easier along the way.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, the battery life, I think, is another important point there, too. Like, you know, I get a brand new iPhone, and within a year's time, I'm struggling with the battery. Yeah. And you can't swap out a battery on a consumer device. It's not that easy. You know, you can't just go swap one out, stick another one in, let the other one go charge. It doesn't work that way. But that's something you definitely can do with an enterprise device.
I also like where you're going there, Phoebe, about, these are my words, but kind of tapping into or layering in an ecosystem. When you have an enterprise device, and certainly Honeywell has done a great job of tapping into an ecosystem of software solution providers and things of that nature, you can build more robust solutions based around the device itself, right?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. So one of the key benefits of an enterprise device is not just the device itself. It is the ecosystem of different types of software providers and mm-hmm. software relationships that we have, mm-hmm. different types of applications that you would need. So if you look at kind of a full, what a full mobility solution looks like for healthcare, it's certainly not just the device. It is the unified communications platform that you're utilizing. It is your integration with whatever EMR or EHR provider. It's having some sort of support, asset management support, whether that's your MDM or something like our Honeywell Operational Intelligence. And then it does, it has, it lends itself to, I think, better customization for a specific need or for a specific workflow. A perfect example of that is, you know, some of these new healthcare workflows we've seen come out of the pandemic, and an enterprise mobile device and mobile solution, we are able to quickly come up with custom apps with our software partners and our software providers and get those up and rolling in a matter of days. So just having the ecosystem that lends itself to an enterprise mobility device, it does, it really gives you a lot of different options and highly customizable for a specific workflow you have, a specific pain point you're looking to solve, and just the broad ecosystem that you have available to you when it comes to development.
Couldn't agree more. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we talk about it time and time again around here about, you know, tapping into the ecosystem, but it is so true. And the light, the breakneck speed that is occurring on the software development side with so many of them are out there being able to develop, being able to react very, very quickly to the needs, the pain points that are happening in a particular community. And in today's case, healthcare obviously has exposed, this pandemic has exposed a lot of things that, again, might have been on the chalkboard, you know, as, oh, we'll get to that sometime in the future. Nope, got to happen now. Who would have thought that mobile tents, you know, doing drive-up testing would have been a thing, even in as early as just January, which was, you know, 4 or 5 months ago from when we're recording this. Didn't know. But when you tap into the ecosystem that an enterprise device in a company like Honeywell brings to the table, you're tapping into a better ecosystem.
Yeah, period. Agreed.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk a little bit about cost of ownership, because I think this is, again, where there's maybe a little bit of misconception that, you know, a consumer device, maybe you're paying, you know, $700-$800, maybe $1,000 for the top line one, versus, you know, an enterprise device could be 3-4 times as much potentially. And maybe, I mean, I could be exaggerating the cost numbers there, but
or at least double.
Yeah, exactly. Right. But there's you know, the expectation that it's going to cost significantly more. So, Phoebe, tell us, where does the cost of ownership really end up though when you start comparing, you know, consumer devices versus enterprise?
So certainly, yes. Yeah. So total cost of ownership, it's also a big factor. We know that within healthcare organizations and just the healthcare industry itself, there are a lot of regulations. There are a lot of different, you know, stimulus packages, et cetera, but cost still remains a big factor. So I think this is a perfect misconception out there that a consumer device may ultimately be cheaper or lead to a better cost of ownership percentage. But in fact, I think a lot of people would be surprised that if you really crunch the numbers and if you look at the longevity that you're getting from an enterprise solution, a lot of times the enterprise device is going to be a lot more cost effective, cost efficient, and it's going to give you a longer life cycle. Yes, I think at immediate purchase, the enterprise device may be, you know, dollars higher, but an enterprise device, you're going to get a lot longer life out of it. Consumer devices, you know, you tend to update those every 12 to 18 months, maybe 24 months if you're lucky. But a lot of the enterprise solutions out there will last anywhere from 3 to 5 years. So that, I think in itself, it gives more longevity. And then we talked about some of the add-ons and additional accessories
that
can also add to a consumer solution, whereas your enterprise solution, it's just one. It's one device, it's one kind of piece of hardware, and you don't need other accessories or protective cases or anything to go with it. So certainly total cost of ownership, I think if you do a, you know, 2, 3, 5 year comparison, your enterprise device is certainly going to be a better option for you long term.
Yeah, and you know, and when you get to the cost factor, the financing element, and John, you know this. I mean, there's distributors like Blue Star. We can help there. We have financing programs that really helps to mitigate that, because we all understand that solutions are the key here, and that's what the healthcare facility wants to implement. We can enable that through some of our programs, through our, some of our financing programs, but they're also going to be used to what they call OPEX expenses, right? Mm-hmm. They understand that technology is evolving to a certain degree, yes, but if there's a need to replace it in a 3 to 5 life cycle, we can help enable that along the way, and the cost really is mitigated and spread out over those over that time. But that's a good point on the cost of ownership there.
Yeah.
Phoebe, anything else you have to add that we haven't discussed that we might have missed?
So, I mean, I don't think so. The HIM study was certainly enlightening, and it really kind of validated some of the trends that we're seeing. But again, it also gave us some really good insight into, you know, what keeps an IT director of a hospital system, you know, what keeps them up at night. And when they are looking to adapt and adopt certain technology, right, there's certainly a lot of factors that go into it. It's not a decision that they are taken lightly. So just knowing really how to address some of their pain points, some of their most important factors that they need. And I would say, I think just now more than ever, we're learning that the key to keeping your patients having a positive experience, keeping your clinical staff, keeping them productive, it really all starts with having the right mobility solution for your organization.
Definitely. You know, and you mentioning the things that keep IT up at night, I think that's a good segue into our recurring segments. But first, I do want to let our listeners know, if you have any thoughts around enterprise versus consumer devices in healthcare, you have some questions for Phoebe, feel free to reach out to us. You can find us on Twitter at TechConnectPod, or you can email us techconnect@bluestarinc.com. I want to thank Phoebe for this conversation, but we do want to wrap up with a couple of our interesting recurring segments. One is value to the VAR. And as I said, we talk about the IT director of a healthcare facility, especially in hospitals, is probably up late many nights thinking about how do I keep things rolling forward? How do I keep things operable? You know, how do we keep managing our facility and our patient care in the best possible way by introducing new technology? So the question I have, you know, for our VARs is, how do we educate them into thinking about enterprise devices in healthcare organizations? And how can they educate those organizations themselves as well? So what do you think that VARs should be talking about with these IT people or any other decision makers about how to introduce these devices and really make a push for them where they can be positioned as a thought leader and someone that can really partner with them?
Yeah, certainly. So I think it does kind of all come back to them addressing what are the needs. We know now, I think it's a bit of a different shift for our partner community going in to introduce mobility. And now it's a factor of likely they already have a mobility solution in place, or they're considering something that needs to be a bit more robust. So I think a good conversation starter when a partner in our VAR community is working with a healthcare provider, ask them what their unmet needs are or how their current mobility solution is working for them, and are there gaps that they can help address? And then certainly, as we mentioned, you know, talk about those factors of how does your clinical staff interact with your mobility solutions? Are there better things we can do to improve the patient experience? So I think certainly educating themselves on what are the driving factors, what does your healthcare IT director care about, how does your nursing informatics, how do they play a part in this decision role? So there's a different decision makers throughout, I think, the healthcare journey that you would interact with, and that is specific to the healthcare industry. And then certainly I would say, you know, take advantage of our full channel resources. If that's a Blue Star business development manager who is in the healthcare space, and then certainly anyone from your Honeywell team As we, we remain dedicated to healthcare, we're continuing to provide these solutions. So take full advantage of your really channel resources that you have available to help you with these conversations with healthcare providers, and any education that we can help provide.
She took two of my things off the table.
You know, you say that every podcast.
I know, Phoebe, you and I must be on the same wavelength here. Dag nab. But anyway, obviously it's really good advice. I wrote down, be equipped with the why. You have to understand why when you're going in to have that conversation. So, I mean, we've talked about the pain points. Yeah, they may have a mobility solution today that's using consumer devices. You have to be equipped with the education of why. Mm-hmm. Why is this an important move for those individuals? And then the second thing I wrote down, absolutely lean into the resources. I have lean into manufacturer because I don't think that resellers fully appreciate the amount of effort that manufacturers like Honeywell go through to enable their partners. And they're really doing such things as reaching out to ISV software companies, and just by having those conversations, they're vetting them. So you can play into that. You can leverage the fact that they're expending resources to help enable you. Just lean into it. Get a part of that ecosystem. And certainly when you're in a rapidly evolving environment like healthcare is right now, more than ever, you need to be tapped into that ecosystem so that you, when you go in to have that meeting and be able to answer the why, you can go back and with the partners that you've had conversations with through your manufacturers and really have a good story there along the way. So yeah. On the same wavelength there, Phoebe. What about you, John?
I agree with all those points as well. And the only other thing I was thinking of is I'm remembering my days in sales in various industries. And there was always, I feel like, certain customer segments that you shied away from, that you felt like, man, this is the people that I feel like I struggle talking to. One of them? And I think that's probably is a perception a lot of times in our industry. I know from folks I talk to that they feel like unless someone comes to them and tells them exactly what they need in healthcare, they don't know how necessarily to approach them. So I think sometimes it can be a matter of reaching out to them and letting them know that you're there, even if they're not necessarily ready to make these big moves and the big changes. They're not asking for this stuff. I know it can be a long time before funding is in place and before, they can make the kind of moves they need to make. Mm-hmm. But I think being a partner that comes to them regularly and shows them that you understand what's happening, maybe it's like pulling a link from an article, about healthcare devices or what's happening in mobile health right now and sending it to them and say, hey, this is interesting. What do you have any thoughts on this? Just to get their feedback.
Yeah, to get engaged with them. Yeah.
Yeah. Let them know like, hey, I understand your space. This podcast even, send this podcast out to one of your, partners and say, hey, I was listening to this, had a lot of great information about consumer versus enterprise. I was curious what you thought on the matter. That's the kind of stuff I think sometimes that can help you build some trust and relationships so that when they do get to that point where they have the money, available or the ability to make that step forward, then they can come to you and say, hey, you seemed like you have your finger on the pulse of this. Talk to me about enterprise devices and where we need to start.
Fair. Yep. Agreed. Yeah.
All right. Well, then for our last question, we want to talk about our favorite segment, which is what's tech connecting with you.
Yes, sir.
This is where we go around and tell, what's something fun and cool in technology that's exciting us right now? What are we maybe reading about? What are we playing with? Mm-hmm. What are we using? What's just blowing our mind that's happening out there in the tech sphere? Phoebe, I'll let you get started. What's tech connecting with you?
Sure. So certainly there are a lot of trends within the healthcare industry that are emerging and some that I think particularly I'm interested to keep an eye on and see how they progress. We've heard a lot coming out about artificial intelligence in healthcare and how doctors and clinicians and specialty staff, how they are looking to leverage AI in their practice and how they are I think more so in the future going to be utilizing this in terms of keeping a safe patient distance and how they're going to be dealing with social distancing. So we're hearing of AI popping up in healthcare more and more and certainly interested to see how that progresses. And then to see how safe hospitals come about. So again, looking at how the healthcare landscape is going to be evolving throughout the year and certainly years to come, looking at keeping hospital systems safe while continuing the same level of care for patients. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely a trend that to be watching. It's fascinating to see how our society is changing so rapidly all around, you know, the pandemic and certain just flows, you know, workflows and everything. Yeah. So safety definitely on everybody's mind, unlike it ever had been in the past. Well, those are awesome. What's Tech Connecting with me? Okay, I'm going to throw a number out at you. Okay. 140 million eggs. Okay. What do you think 140 million eggs are being used for?
No idea. You tell me.
Creating vaccines. So I did not really understand this, you know, until obviously everybody's kind of reading up on vaccines and understanding right. a little bit about the workflow. Unbelievable. I had no idea that the way that we produce the flu vaccine, or at least 80% of it, is through the use of chicken eggs. Mm-hmm. And specifically, about 140 million of them are used every single year. And I'm sure I'm not right using the right phrase, but to culture the right, you know, virus so that we can have the flu shot at the end of the road. You know, there's eggs, there's cell-based, apparently, and there's recumbent type of vaccines. But who knew? I am just fascinated that we have a stockpile, and nobody knows where they are, by the way, of chickens and eggs, which is awesome, right? We need certain strategic things that, you know, like, I guess, our missiles and stuff like that. We don't want everybody to know where they are, but those there's chickens out there.
The most well-protected chickens on the planet, probably. Yeah.
Phoebe probably already knew that we had those chickens out there. I was unaware that we used 140 million eggs every year to create the flu vaccine.
What's connecting with you? You know, I do think I've been asked before when I've been getting like a flu shot, like, are you allergic to eggs? Like,
well, there you
and
go.
It never really, I guess maybe I kind of knew, but I never really thought that much about it
before. I just love the old school nature of that. Because you think, you know, vaccine, oh, it's high tech, right? I mean, it's got to be like the highest of technology, right? Robots, AI, spinning things, whatever. No. It's injecting an egg, putting it over here in a corner for a little bit and letting it do its thing, and then coming back and getting it.
Yeah. Sometimes old school is the best, you know.
There you go.
So what's connecting with me is Yell's Marble Runs. And I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. It's spelled J-E-L-L-E-S.
Okay.
E-apostrophe-S. Now, so we're all, many of us are kind of hurting for sports right now. You know, we've talked about this, I think, before on the podcast. We kind of find wherever we can to get invested in sports right now. Well, I remember seeing very early on during lockdowns, somebody had posted something on Twitter of a marble run where they were basically had created a dirt track.
Yes, I know what you're talking about.
And they had about 30 marbles that were just racing through it. And they actually had announcers like calling it as if it was a legit race.
And the white one's going on.
Right. And it was fascinating. Like, this is so cool. It's fascinating. Well, what I didn't know is that there is an actual league that has been built around It's called Yell's Marble Runs. It's the Marble Run League.
Okay.
This last week, tonight with John Oliver, this week actually talked about it. They had a segment about sports and coming back, you know, to sports from the pandemic. Mm. And at the very end of it, he talked about this particular Marble Run League. And apparently the league was kind of deciding, like, you know, can we do this again next year? We need some sponsorship. So his show decided to sponsor the new season. Well, if you go to YouTube and look it up, again, it's J-E-L-L-E apostrophe S, Marble Runs, or just look up Marble Runs, you'll probably find it. They've got like just dozens of different races, some where they've built little tracks, some are dirt tracks, they've got qualifiers, they've got little marble audiences. They play it up as if it's a legit sport.
So a participant brings their own marble? Is that what it
is? I guess. I don't even know if there's like actual people like bringing their marbles. I'm not sure the details.
Okay. All right. We need to find out.
Yeah. I've watched a few of the videos. They are endlessly fascinating. Like, you will sit there and find yourself watching marbles racing along.
I confess I did. Yep. I have only seen one, but I was intrigued because, first off, they take minutes. It's not like it's 10 seconds.
Fast, yeah.
It's minutes of a race, and a marble that I thought was completely out of the race, all of a sudden you see it start coming. I'm like, you're rooting for this marble. Yep. Go white or whatever. Go pink. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. It's
when you had marbles.
Yeah. Isn't that fascinating?
It's the kind of endless entertainment that we need right now. And it's one of those things you can lose yourself in for a little while, maybe forget about everything else that's happening in the world. So Yell's Marble Runs. All right. Well, once again, I want to thank Phoebe Cresswell for joining us. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Phoebe.
We appreciate your insight.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And again, if you have any requests for us, get in touch with us on Twitter or email us. This has been fun, but it's time for us to unplug and get disconnected. So until next time.
Tech Connect Podcast is brought to you by Honeywell. Throughout the country, parking lots have been turned into drive-through testing operations, and cars have become the waiting room.
Honeywell's complete solution of hardware and software for drive-through disease testing offers frontline workers a safe, more efficient way to manage the large influx of patients. Honeywell solutions provide the right combination of mobility, scanning, and printing solutions, coupled with a third-party software application that is designed specifically for disaster and disease management. Team members can gather information in a matter of seconds and administer tests at drive-through sites without the additional exposure and contact from paperwork.
Contact your Blue Star representative to evaluate your unique needs and see why Honeywell's healthcare solutions are the right choice for meeting current and long-term needs of drive-through testing.